The second scripture reading today is from Luke 2, 22 to 38. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord." And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul also." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, welcome to all of you on the fourth day after Christmas. Hopefully you and your family and your friends have had wonderful celebrations and good food and the exchange of gifts and a joyous celebration of the birth of the Christ child, of hope and peace, and most of all of light being born into the winter darkness. The scripture we read today is usually read later in the church calendar. And while many people by now think that Christmas is over, that the story is ended, that it is time to pack up the tree and the decorations and put it all away until Christmas rolls again around next year, the story actually continues. We are at a point, so to speak, of an end beginning. We are reminded that nothing ever ends without something else beginning, especially with God. Now, some of us experience a letdown after Christmas. I won't ask if that affects any of you. But once it's over, there's kind of an emptiness sometimes, a blah feeling that we feel after all the color and the decoration of the season. And we find ourselves in darkness again. We find ourselves with long, dark days still to face and a long wait until the arrival of spring. I don't know about you, but it's easy for me to ask myself, so where is the light? Where are the candles? Where is the star? Where is the child gone? That child that was in the manger in Bethlehem. The scripture today helps us answer those questions. The Christmas story has taken Mary and Joseph on a long journey to Bethlehem, through a birth in a barn, visited by angels and shepherds and announced by a star. Then there was the long and dangerous trip home. And here they have embarked on yet another trip, this time 40 days later, to the temple for the presentation and blessing of Jesus and for Mary's purification rites after childbirth. Imagine, if you will, this young family walking up the temple steps, babe in arms, not expecting to be known by anyone, filled with gratitude for their baby boy, with amazement at what they have seen, with joy and awe, a certain amount of terror, and most certainly the exhaustion of new parents. And no sooner have they entered the temple than Simeon, an old man, emerges out of the darkness, rushes up to them, and scoops up their baby boy into his arms and exclaims that this child, their child, is the salvation and the light for which he and Israel have all been waiting. Imagine this young mother, who already adores her child, as almost all new mothers do, being told that she has given birth to light itself. And while Simon is ecstatic to finally see the promise fulfilled by God, he also issues a disturbing prophecy to Mary that her small, beautiful, innocent baby will also be like a sword that will pierce her soul. Perhaps for the first time, Mary begins to realize that giving birth, that mothering, that parenting this small child, that bringing forth light will make her vulnerable in ways she cannot begin to imagine. It is Simeon's blessing and prophecy that carry the Christmas story forward. He makes very clear that the story of this child, this light, is only beginning, and that it will reach far into the future with unquestionable impact, which it most certainly has. So the question for us today, now that Christmas has passed, is where is the light now in our day and time? The light that calls to us from thousands of years ago, from that barn and that temple, eventually from the cross and the stone that is rolled away, down through the centuries, from years and years of recorded history. We believe in its power, don't we? We yearn for its presence in our lives and in our world. We need it to be as present today and as real as it was in that tiny child in that manger in Bethlehem, and to see it and know it as certainly and as surely as Simeon did that day in the temple. We learn about light in many ways. We read scripture. We are taught by teachers. We see it in our own children. We know it when we experience the love of family and friends. We see it in stories of triumph and survival and justice. And one of the ways that light comes into this world is for us to do what Mary did. We give birth to it in our own lives. The light, the peace, the hope, the justice that we long for is something that we have to tend and nurture. Those things must continually be reborn in 2019 and soon in 2020. Meister Eckhart was a 13th century philosopher, theologian, and mystic. And in a 13th century Christmas sermon, he said the following: "What good is it to me that Mary gave birth to the Son of God if I do not also give birth to the Son of God in my time and in my culture? What good is it to me if Mary is full of grace and I am not full of grace?" And this is the part that I particularly like. He goes on to say, we are all meant to be mothers of God. God is always needing to be born. That's why I like your anthem this morning about Mary. Meister Eckhart challenges us to be like Mary, to be the ones who birth light in our time and our world. If we yearn for light, we must become bearers of light, mothers and fathers of light, creators of light. And in doing so, we must also heed Simeon's warning that parenting is not easy. It makes us vulnerable. It opens us up. Sometimes it cracks us apart. We may experience joy and tears, triumph and defeat, certainty and uncertainty. Allowing light to be birthed within us, following the light may call us to go places and do things that are risky, things our world needs, and things we never thought we could or would. That is where it took Mary. And ask any mother or father or aunt or uncle or foster parent, the list goes on, where being a parent might take you. Being a mother is risky business. Being willing to be used by God to bring light into the world is risky business. God is risky business. Peter Marty, publisher of the Christian Century, wrote recently about hearing a talk given by a ranger at Yellowstone National Park. The ranger was explaining what to do in the event that one meets a grizzly bear while hiking in the park, something you hope never happens except at a distance, right? It's pretty scary stuff. You can try to appear bigger than you are. You can try to muster the courage not to run. You can keep your bear spray handy and use it at just the right time and angle and distance from the bear. If you have your wits about you. But if all of those fail to discourage a 600-pound bear that stands 10 feet tall with long claws and long teeth and is coming your way, what should you do? The ranger said you stop, you lie face down on the ground, and you play dead. Marty goes on to say that it's safer to study nature in a book. It's safer to drive through the park than to get out into nature. And getting close to God and being willing to be a bearer of light involves risk as well. God's company may unsettle us. In fact, it will unsettle us. But it's the only way to really create and bring light into our world. The scripture we read today is associated with the church feast of the Presentation, the blessing of the child Jesus. But because of the reference to light in this passage, it's also associated with the Feast of Candlemas. Candlemas is an old and ancient tradition where people used to bring their candles to church to be blessed by the priests. For candles, especially before the advent of electricity, were essential in lighting up the dark. And the blessing of the candles was done in community, in a community of people who loved light. Today, we come together in just such a community, one of many, that stands for justice, for compassion, for feeding the hungry, for providing sanctuary, for caring for creation, and so much more. We come together, friends, as light bearers. Here we know people like Beth Mulberry and others who conceived of the idea of a medical clinic in a medically underserved area in Greensboro. We come here with Julie and Paul and all of you and many people from the community who sat and slept at this church 24/7 while Minerva and Oscar stayed here for protection. We come with family members, many of you, who tenderly and faithfully care for friends and family who are ill, for those of you who faithfully deliver meals on wheels to people who are hungry. We come with a group of people who are trying to responsibly decide what our church's response might be to the climate crisis. We come with people who visit Stewart Detention Center to let immigrants know that someone cares about them and who support the work of Faith Action. And the list goes on. These are not isolated incidents. They connect to the event we know as Christmas over 2,000 years ago. Where is the light? Here is the light. In each one of you, God's bearers of light. We rejoice when we succeed in bringing God's presence into the world and into someone's life. And we stand together in hope and faith when we see that light dim. We are part of the continuing Christmas story. And whatever happens, God keeps the light alive in the world and in us, and the story continues. While there are times that may seem like an ending, there is always a beginning. For God is light and eternal, and the story continues without end. What shall we do now that Christmas has passed? Be light, nurture light, birth light. Bring the story of light forward. And as Howard Thurman said, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the sky and the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas really begins. And what is that work? That work of light. Thurman goes on, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, and to make music in the heart. We have work to do. Know this day that the light has found you and surrounds you and bears you up. Know that God placed it there in your heart at your creation. Know that your calling is to be a bearer of light, a mother of light. Go forth from this place as God's child, full of grace and full of light, an actor in the continuing and evolving Christmas story. And keep your eyes and your ears open. For as Frederick Buechner said, once we have seen light appear in a simple, lowly stable, we can never be sure where that light will appear and to what lengths God will go in God's wild pursuit of the world and of each one of us. Amen. Amen.